one.
With that old fool. They say he sees things that aren't really there.
You don't know him like we do. He's cool.
Yeah, he's our friend, so don't call him names, okay?
Okay, sorry. I didn't mean to offend. I don't know him myself, I'm just telling you what people say.
You don't believe everything people say, do you?
Not really. Well, it depends. But tell me, why do you go there anyway?
He has all this neat stuff from at least 100 years ago. He's like a living time machine.
Yeah, and he makes this great fruit shake with mango ice cream and...
And what's more, he tells the coolest stories.
How far did he get?
Gramps told us he was also an airplane mechanic for the Air Force in World War I. He also shot some tribe chief's cuckoo in the protected forest on an island in the Pacific because he was hungry, and then he had to flee in a canoe to a nearby island to escape death. Shooting one of Chief's cuckoos was not good, you know?
He then started working at a steel mill in another country, which was kind of a dead-end job. One of his friends died in an accident at the mill, which got him to cry out to God. Then he got this revelation thing, and he decided to be a missionary, and...
And?
And that's as far as he got.
So if I want to hear the rest of the story, I have to come with you, right?
Guess so.
Can I join you?
Sure, why not? You can meet him yourself and see what you think of him, instead of listening to what everybody else says.
The white front gate that started Gramps' property was just up ahead. They pushed it open and walked up the pathway through the garden. They climbed the steps to a modest two-story house. Preparing to knock on the door, Chris raised a large ring, which ran through the nose of a sculpted bronze tiger.
Spooky.
Gramps picked it up on one of his trips to Tibet.
Oh. Hi. Hey, it's the squad with a new member.
Hi, Gramps. Karen's an old friend. She just came back to Sheldon a week ago.
Well... I'm glad you brought her with you. Another member to the squad. The Five Squad. That has a nice ring to it.
We just came over to see how you're doing.
How kind.
We're interested in hearing the rest of your story. You've got the best stories to tell.
You're a kind squad. I'll continue the story soon enough. Make yourselves comfortable. I figured you'd be back today, so I whipped up one of my favorite drinks. Avocado shake.
See? I told you he's cool.
Here you go. I learned how to make this on one of my trips to Indonesia. Blend avocado, shredded coconut, sugar, cream, shaved ice, and there you have it. Anyway, I'll round off my story with some photos of some of my missionary adventures. And here I am with Maureen, my wife, before she...
She was pretty.
Maureen was a real angel. And I'm sure she's even more beautiful now in heaven. Here we are doing a school program in India.
What's with the snake?
That's an African rock python that decided to join the Bible class I was giving in Cameroon.
Cameroon?
It's in West Africa.
Oh, that's the country that's west of East Africa.
Right. The next picture is when we're feeding the homeless in Mexico. We got some of our friends to take over the ministry when we left. Okay, enough about me. What have you fellows been doing?
Kento's building a go-kart for the big community Back to the 50s race.
I have just the thing that might be able to help you with that. Pulleys.
How's that going to help?
First let's see if I still have those pulleys. Come on, follow me to the attic.
Where is the attic? I don't see any door leading up through the ceiling.
Things are not always as they appear. You don't think a crazy old guy like me would have one of those boring attics at the top of his house, do you? No, sirree. Something a bit more eccentric in my case. It's behind this door. This way. It's in those trees. Be careful on the walkway. It may wobble a bit with this many people on it. And that up there is a pulley. It's a rotating wheel with a grooved rim. A belt or chain rests in the groove, which enables the pulley to change the direction.
Oh, I see.
Here we are at the trunk of the tree. We'll just open this secret door.
If anyone passing by did not look closely, they wouldn't be able to tell it was a door at all.
Wow! Cool! The inside of the tree is completely hollowed out.
Here's my attic.
Cool place, Gramps.
Can we look around?
That's what attics are for.
How did you make this room inside the tree?
It came with the house. Nobody really knows, although there are all kinds of stories about how it got here. One story is told that a pioneer dug it out to escape an Indian attack. And some others say that it was struck by lightning, which burned a hole into the trunk. But the tree kept growing. Others say it was a fungus that caused it. And then, there's even an ancient legend that it was a dragon's den.
Wow!
Where did I put those pulleys? Let's see.
Look at this old rocking horse!
I found an old manual typewriter. Mercury is written in gold letters. Ancient! Imagine trying to type a letter with this.
I banged out many a missionary newsletter with that stubborn beauty.
Here are some cool paintings. Some of them look like they were never finished.
Ah, here are the pulleys I was talking about. I'll make a drawing to show you how to use them for your go-kart steering wheel. Ah, that reminds me. There's something else I wanted to give you. Something very special indeed.
Is it a musical instrument?
Something to eat?
A new invention?
I know. A case for an antique book?
Is it a... Oh, I don't know. Show us, please.
Enough speculation. Some good guesses, though. Let's have a look, shall we?
They're so shiny.
What's that writing on them?
It's Latin, the language the ancient Romans spoke. These coins are very old and very valuable.
Where did you get them, Gramps?
My father gave them to me. He got them from his father, who had gotten them from his father, and on the line went. If I recall correctly, it's been passed down 10 generations so far. There are 20 coins altogether. I don't have any kids to pass them on to, and so I want to give them to you, to care for and pass on in time. Oh my, it's already dark. You'll need to head on back home soon. Chris, since you're the eldest, I'm making you the steward of the coins. I hope you'll value these coins I'm entrusting to you. Before you go, let's pray together. Come around here in a circle. We'll hold hands. Dear Lord, thank you for these wonderful children, all of them. And thank you for the love they've brought into my life and for the enjoyable times we've had together. Go with them now and keep them safe. Help them, too, to treasure these coins that I've passed on to them, and to be good stewards over them. In your name I pray, amen.
And be with Gramps, too. We always have such good times with him. Thank you for that.
Oh, and there's one more thing I'd like to give you before you go. Please take this lovely angel painting to decorate the shack. Now run along and do be careful.
The following day, they returned to Gramps' house and banged the knocker, but there was no answer. They had just turned to leave when a neighbor approached them.
Have you come to see Mr. Hedgecomb?
Yes, but he doesn't seem to be home. Do you know when he'll be back?
Oh, I'm afraid he passed away in his sleep last night. Just after midnight, according to the doctor.
No.
I'm sorry, my boy. And I'm sorry to have broken it to you suddenly. I guess you were his friends.
We sure were.
I just came here to take care of the old man's dog and to bring him to the city kennel.
Oh, please don't do that. We'll take care of him.
I don't know. I'm not really supposed to.
Please, sir.
I guess it would be all right. Here he is.
Thank you.
Later on that day, everyone got together at the shack to discuss what to do.
I always liked to go see Gramps. He was like my grandfather after mine died. When we were with him, it seemed time went by so quickly.
I only just met him, but he wasn't weird at all. Maybe he was different, but not crazy like everyone said. I wish I could have known him better.
I'm sure he's happy now. Probably feeling a lot better than before.
Gramps was the greatest, the most interesting and fun person I've ever known. I'm going to miss him.
What are we going to do about the coins?
Gramps said they were valuable, right?
What are you trying to say? That we should sell them?
I didn't say that, but it would be nice to know how valuable the coins are. At least we could take them down to a coin dealer and see what they're worth.
I guess it wouldn't hurt to find out, so we can see what we have.
Fair enough.
Which shop are we going to?
Don't know.
We could always look it up in the phone book. They'll have an address in there.
Here you go. Coins ahoy.
No. A corny name to give a shop.
Only Coins, Coin World, and Collector's Haven. That's all they have down here.
Coin World sounds the best to me.
I'll just jot down the address on this paper. I think there's a bus that takes us right up to Crispin Avenue where the shop is.
Let's go!
With the coins in hand, the children boarded a bus that took them to a run-down area of town. After asking directions, they found the freshly painted shop they were looking for. The shop seemed oddly out of place with its white walls and gaudy framed windows in what was otherwise a drab and dirty district.
That didn't look like the best part of town.
But the shop looks okay. We just want them to tell us how much the coins are worth.
We've come all this way. It will be too late to go to one of the other coin shops before it's dark. And who says the others are going to be any better?
Let's just do it.
Susan called, stopping them from entering the shop. She hadn't been sure about doing this from the start. She kept thinking that they'd forgotten something. Then she remembered what Gramps had repeated on numerous accounts. Pray always, he often said, but now they were forgetting to do just that.
Wait, I think we're forgetting something.
What?
Susan suddenly became embarrassed. She blushed, wondering what they'd think of her. It was one thing when it was coming from Gramps to remind them to pray, but from her? She screwed her face up at the thought. And besides, we're just getting them priced. That's all. She shrugged and her gaze dropped to the sidewalk.
Susan! What's wrong with you?
Nothing. Nothing.
The manager came out from behind a curtain, with a suspiciously insincere smile plastered on his face. People around these parts knew him as Skeets Manchester, but no one really knew if it was his real name or not. That was just one of his many secrets.
Frisky, stop growling!
So, what can I do you for, boys and girls? Where did you say you got these?
From an old man who was a good friend of ours.
Was?
He passed away.
Oh, so sorry. So he left the coins to you?
Yes.
And where did he say he got them?
He said that his father gave them to him.
Excuse me, but why are you asking all these questions?
In my business, you can never be too careful.
Well, how much are they worth?
I must say, these are very good fakes. Very good fakes indeed. And what did this old man do for a living anyway?
He was a missionary.
He traveled all over the world.
Ah, that explains it then. The natives of these foreign lands are always trying to pawn off bogus coins on travellers. These coins are barely worth the metal they're made of, if you know what I mean.
No, we don't, sir. Gramps told us that these coins are very valuable and that they've been passed on for several generations in his family. They should at least be worth money for how old they are.
My point is, old men often make up stories. They start going crazy and telling you things that never happened. And I'm telling you, these coins are no less than 10 years old, and certainly not from ancient Rome.
Gramps wasn't crazy.
Look, if you really want, I'll do you a favour. I'll buy these coins from you as a favour only. This man seemed a pretty important person to you, I understand. Look, I'll give you 20 quid for them. $20. I could use them for my display window. It might attract some customers.
Only 20? But Gramps told us they were very valuable.
Well, obviously he didn't know his coins very well. I, on the other hand, am somewhat of an expert in the field, and I'm telling you, you won't get money from anyone for those coins. They'd make an all right decoration, though.
At least they remind us of Gramps, even if you say they're not worth much money.
Well, I was only trying to help. But seeing as you lot have affirmed your decision to keep them, that concludes our business. Have a good day, children, and don't waste my time again. Children, they have a way of getting on my nerves, even when I'm in a good mood. Clive!
What do you want, boss?
Clive, get Harrison to follow the kids that just left the shop. They're headed south on Crispin Avenue. I want to know where they're going.
Why do you want to follow a bunch of kids?
Just get to it! I don't see the need for you to question orders.
Yes, boss. Whatever you say, boss.
Oh, imbeciles. All of them. Imbeciles.
The bus ride back was a silent one, dispelled only by a few disappointed whispers. Chris had not yet released his hand on the backpack that the box of coins was in. His mouth frowned, his knuckles went white as he tightened his grip of the backpack.
Worthless, huh? I doubt it.
I wonder why I thought we shouldn't go into that shop. The man was not nice at all, but nothing happened. I was just getting all worried and thinking we might lose the coins. But they're not even worth much money, so the guy said. I didn't like him at all. I wish Gramps were here to help us. He would know what to do.
Susan! Susan!
What?
I've called your name like 3 times. Come on, it's our stop.
Oh, thanks. It's just that I miss Gramps.
What's wrong with you? Aren't you coming to the shack with us?
No, I think I'll just go home now. See you guys tomorrow.
Sure thing.
The four bounded down the sidewalk towards Chris's house, where their hangout stood at the back of the property. Their mood had changed, and they chattered on about different things. No one had seen the gaunt man exit the bus with them, nor had they seen him enter at the same time that they did. Susan had been walking in the opposite direction when she heard a whisper in her head. Turn around.
Huh?
Just turn around. She stopped walking and turned in time to see the last of the four figures as they turned the corner.
Now what?
Suddenly, a thin, gangly silhouette emerged from behind a tree, not far from her friends, checking the silent street to see if anyone had followed him. He paused as he looked in her direction. Susan ducked into a nearby gateway, holding her breath. Realizing it was her own gate, she ran to the door and ushered herself in.
Susan?
Yes, it's me, Mom.
How was your day?
Can't talk right now, Mom.
Susan dashed up the stairs to her room, wondering if she'd be able to get a glimpse of the man from her bedroom window. Looking down at the well-lit street from her second-floor bedroom, it was not hard to see the man. It looked like he was following her friends, but then he seemed to stroll carelessly across the road, away from them. She waited at her window, expecting to see him again, but he never showed himself again.
Susan, it's dinner time.
Coming. What's up with me? I have this feeling like something bad is going to happen, but I don't know what.
Just because it doesn't make sense, doesn't mean that the voice you hear whispering in your heart is wrong. Sometimes God speaks to us, telling us to be careful or to not do something. And we are wise to listen to that voice. Otherwise, we may have unexpected troubles to deal with.
Oh dear, I hope nothing bad is going to happen because we didn't pray before we went off to that shop. It would be terrible if anything happened because I didn't speak up. Please, Jesus, help me not to be afraid to say something to my friends, even if it seems corny or odd. I'm sorry for not listening to the voice that told me we should pray before going into the shop. Help me to not make that same mistake again. Amen.